Suck my dick.
Somebody else would do it, shake his wing.
You need some blood in it if you're gonna present. Hello and welcome. We're back from the BallerLifestyle.com. It is the Baller Lifestyle Podcast. My name is Brian Beckner. Thank you very much for joining the show. We're just having a little off-air discussion about the 1987 Paul Verhoeven classic, RoboCop. We should maybe consider doing an entire episode devoted to that movie. Because it's beautiful, and it came out when I was 12 years old and my dad took me to see it. And I'm not sure, one, I don't think they make that kind of violence anymore. It doesn't seem like it. And I'm not sure it was really appropriate for a 12-year-old at the time, but I was into it and I'm glad he did. So thanks, Dad. Joining me now, it's Ed Daly. Ed, how are you?
I'm doing well. Yeah, that movie is so violent 5 minutes into it. There's just bullets and blood everywhere.
It's like so 80s, but it's also so now.
Oh, yeah. It's
perfect.
But the one thing, you know, they're trying to predict the future and conflicts. And one of the conflicts, like that, you know, the fake news that starts off and like introduces what's going on.
Yeah.
They expected things to get even hotter in South Africa, like nuclear war. Yeah.
Oh, right.
Like that was during, the one thing that was really coming to a head in the late 80s. Yeah. But then, like, I'm not saying things are cool there, but like, you know, apartheid ended and like that was that. They made it seem like the whites were really going to double down and like, you know, start firing missiles at,
right.
I don't know, at other countries trying to force them to end apartheid. I don't know. That was their prediction.
Interesting. Speaking of movies, I cannot remember in recent history, and maybe it's just because I don't think about these things that much, a movie that has been more polarizing in terms of people's opinions of it than Baby Driver, which I showed my son this weekend because he's like, hey, I want to see that movie Baby Driver. So threw it on this weekend and thoroughly enjoyed it.
I thought it was fun. Yes. Just chases.
Yeah, it's super good driving car chases. It's a little bit cheesy, but it like plays into that. The fucking soundtrack and score are incredible.
Yeah, where he's driving around to Queen and stuff. Yes. Like it's cool music.
And
it just
looks cool. Like it's all mostly in the daytime. It's like real colorful and I don't know, it's in Atlanta and it's just like
that's a fun movie. It's a fun movie. You don't get too deep. I mean, there are weird things you can shoot holes in, but
of course, there's a million. But it's like it's not going to win any awards or anything. But you're going to sit down with some popcorn and you're going to watch it and you're going to be like, oh, that was entertaining. That was good. But a lot of people really hate it.
Yeah, I don't know why. I found that to be like, if you want to have fun watching a movie, that's the type of movie you watch.
Yeah, totally good. Enjoyed it. There's a couple hot chicks in it. Had a little bit of everything. You know, Jamie Foxx, he was fine. He was there. Yeah. You know, he's doing his thing.
I remember pointing out to you when I saw in the theaters, how about the Spanish chick?
Oh, huge fan. Huge fan.
Saucy.
I was watching it with Fancy Sauce, and she Googled her and was like checking on her computer, and I glanced over and I saw that the Spanish chick was born in 1990.
Oh.
And that just really, really kind of bummed me out.
I had a bummer of a realization. I was watching college football this weekend. I go, oh, next year I'm going to be like cheering for people born in 2000. That'll be 18.
That's so, you know, my Dodgers are in the World Series and they have coming off the bench, Chase Utley, who's, you know,
born in 1920.
He's seemed so old and he's like the grizzled veteran and it's, you know, probably his last year and everybody looks up to him and he's a leader and all this. That guy's like 4 years younger than me. Like, he's such an old man.
Oh, yeah, we're older than the coaches now.
Yes, he's can barely get around the field, and is just, you know, just barely hanging on by a thread, and his hair's all gray, and it's fucking...
Yeah, how about Dwayne Wade as Old Man River?
Yeah. Yes, totally. It's very, very depressing. I remember when I was like 25 and I realized I was watching a college football game and I realized, oh, unless I'm watching BYU, there's no one nearly as old as me on any of these fields ever. Like, these are kids and I'm much older than them. And that was like a real realization. And then the fact that all professional athletes are younger than me, that kind of never really hit me. Until recently, and now it's just like, oh yeah. By the way, the old guy that everyone
we're as old as like a kicker still hanging on, but that's it.
Yeah, Vinatieri's older than us for sure, but that's it.
That's it.
Anything else? What else is going on?
We went to DC this weekend, Chocolate City and all that stuff.
Yeah,
but two things. One, fuck Delaware. I've been for nearly 25 years, I've been making the trip from New Jersey to DC or Maryland. And like, you're in Delaware for like 10 miles and it's always like an hour worth of traffic. It's just one of those places and there's no real reason for the traffic. Like, there's like lanes closed, but on the weekend and no work's being done. Like, it's weird and it's just always terrible. And I don't understand that state. All I know about it is George Thorogood is from there, and they have bullshit traffic.
Okay, here's the two things I know about Delaware. Tax haven.
Well, that's true. That's true. Yeah. Big tax haven.
All the credit card companies are based there.
I think my wife's company is based there.
Yeah, everything Delaware. They incorporate there because it's a safe place to incorporate. Here's the second thing I know. Artie Lang used to drive his Mercedes from Jersey to Delaware to score heroin and then show up for work the next morning. That's the two things I know about Delaware.
It's hard to believe that that's where you would get heroin.
I know.
You're in New York City.
Right.
I don't know.
I feel like
it's a terrible state.
Yeah.
I don't know much about it except for it's always fucking full of traffic. It's a bad place. Do you ever have that? Like, there's an area in California, like you're always going somewhere and like there's one area that there's always traffic for no reason.
It's all around me. I guess
LA.
So LA has traffic, but oftentimes, so you're expecting to hit traffic when you get to LA. This is fucking the Californians here. But for some reason now it's takes an hour just to get to, it should take me an hour to get from my house to downtown LA. It takes me an hour just to get out of Orange County. For some reason, the traffic has encroached upon me where there used to not be any traffic. And I'll be like, oh, it's Saturday. It's 2 o'clock on a Saturday. I'm fine. And then there it is.
Why would there be traffic?
I know. It's fucking bullshit.
One last thing.
Yeah.
I was at a rest stop yesterday.
Uh-oh. Did you get jacked off?
No, yeah. But I was looking for the wide stances.
Right.
No, I was just, you know, making my way through. Maybe I had to go back to the car. I can't remember why. Or I was taking my son to the men's room. And as I'm like walking through, you know, there's just people sitting everywhere eating their shitty food.
Yeah.
And, I almost got punched in the dick by a kid with Tourette's.
Oh, no. Are you sure? He's probably just hyper. Is Tourette's real?
Just, you know how like you have to get through. I don't know what condition. I just assumed it was a Tourette's because he was like, bah! Yeah. And then he like jabbed out, and I like.
So you're Tourette's. Like, you're Tourette's profiling.
Way. I lunged at. Well, I mean, then he's just a shitty kid. Like, of I don't course. Know what
that's what he is.
Something.
Yeah.
But he screamed and like he threw like a good, you know, Muhammad Ali jab and
at your dick.
I like right at my dick, what? And I like dodged backward, and I kind of collided with the dad.
Yeah,
like, and he kind of gave me a dirty look.
Oh my god!
Like, we kind of looked at each other, and mm-hmm. It's like, hey, your son's got some issues. Like, I'm okay with that. Like, what are you supposed to do?
Control your shit.
You know, go outside.
Yeah,
but like, your son almost punched me in the dick. Like, I shouldn't be the one apologizing. So. Yes. Like, I collided with the guy, and then I wasn't going to apologize, so I just kept walking. Yeah. It was weird.
Yeah, that is a weird, weird situation. We're in an era where people just do not give a fuck about what their kids do. They don't notice. They're not interested. And meanwhile, it's all like, my kids are good. My kids don't fuck with anybody. They're nice. They're, you know, they're getting bigger. So that it's not, you don't have to worry about them running away and stuff. And, but I've always been just like terrified that they're going to cause someone else an inconvenience, which is why I'm like,
if they ever acted out a little bit, you get on it.
Totally. Right? You handle it. You handle it right away. And meanwhile, other people just so oblivious. You go to a restaurant and they're fucking running around and they're screaming. It's a whole thing.
Yeah.
Is that it? You got anything else?
That's it.
Have you caught up on, what's that show? Larry David?
No, I have not. Ed, I haven't even started yet. Ed, I love that show and I haven't even started.
It is so fucking funny. And it's not only has it not slowed down, like it did not skip a beat. It's nothing is missing. It's no different than it was before. It might be better. It might be the best it's ever been. It is so
fucking funny.
That's crazy
considering the hiatus they took.
Yes. They've been gone.
6 years? 7 years? Something
like that. Many years. It's at least half a decade, if not longer. And it's just so Larry's on fire. So I really need you. I mean, they're half an hour.
I know.
30 minutes. And there's been three or maybe four. I don't know. It's so good. I'm already like getting kind of bummed out that I'm going to miss it when it's gone. Okay. That's it. Okay. We have a voicemail. You want to hear a voicemail? This guy actually left two, but one, and they're both kind of long, but they're good. But one, unfortunately, Wayne, you were breaking up. You were complaining about having to be at Disneyland, which I would love to discuss, and how awful it was and all that. And you announced that Ed and I should have a rap battle in characters. And I thought that was funny too. But it just, the audio quality was too bad. But let's hear your first. Let's hear what you had to say in your first voicemail.
Brian and Ed, what's up, y'all? This is Wayne in Nashville. So I'm listening to the podcast. I had to push pause. Y'all talking about Dirty John. So I listened to that also, and my thoughts were the same thing.
I like that he stopped in the middle of a show, and he was like, hold on, I got to press pause. And then he listened to something that was like 5 hours long. Like, that is dedication.
Hold that thought.
Oh, he said I gotta listen to that. Pause.
He's our hardest listener. He can do what he wants.
For sure.
These people are a bunch of fucking morons. How the hell did she let this go on for as long as it did?
We've covered that. She's very stupid.
Just really blew stupid. My mind. Gullible. Anyway, I'm not evil, but why can't I find someone this stupid? I'd be nice to them. Just take a bunch of the fucking money and then leave them alone.
That was my point about this sociopath, Dirty John. Like, he had it so good. All he had to do was be nice to the kids. This broad was paying for everything. He needed clothes. She took him to Brooks Brothers. Like, this guy was
set. I need an apartment, but it's got to be in your name and you got to pay for all of it.
Yes. Okay. She got a fucking house on the bay. Like, he's driving her Jag. Like, everything was going so well.
Yeah. Oh, she is so freaking stupid.
She's very dumb.
And yes, the whole Walking Dead thing with the daughter and the zombie kid. Anytime she talked, all I could think is that she has smoked way too much meth. I guess when you're privileged and you grow up with money, you don't really have to have a real job like her. She worked in a dog kennel.
Hey, Wayne, maybe she just loves animals. Like, that's a real job for her.
I bet I have a feeling they just like, hey, can we do something with her? And they just like, hey, why don't you go in the corner and pet those dogs? Yeah. Like, she didn't really have a job.
Hey.
I bet you they gave her a keyboard that wasn't plugged into anything. Why don't you enter those files?
She did have those heavy duty rain boots on that day, though, from cleaning out the cages, which may or may not have saved her life. To which
she's like, when, you know, when you gave your kids like the old dead cell phone? You're like, here's your phone. Like, that's every day for her.
Yeah. When they're little kids, they're playing with all your old Motorola flip phones.
Yeah. That's her. She doesn't even know it's not plugged in or turned on.
Why was she dry? I want to know, like, yeah, okay, you had your boots on while you cleaned out the shit and piss and hosed out the cages and stuff. Why'd you drive home in those? Like, wouldn't you kick them off and throw on your slip-ons or something?
She learned from a new stepdad who had the dirty scrubs all the time.
That's right. Okay, let's hear more.
lived in probably a nice ass apartment out there in wherever, California. And how's he going to let himself go like that? You know, we're talking about how big he was, and then at the end, he's like 160. He's like a crackhead. I think he can.
Yeah, he's an opiate addict.
Take whoever out.
Yeah, the guy was really struggling strong. At the end.
He must have not known about her affinity for The Walking Dead and how she's going to stab him in the eye. It came true.
Oh, spoiler alert.
By the way,
if you haven't. Way.
That was the payoff right there.
Yeah. Sorry if you haven't listened to. Walking Dead all the way through Dirty John. That's pretty old by now, though. The statute of limitations has expired. We've talked about it for 3 weeks in a row.
Too fucking long of a show. I used to watch it, used to love it. Now I just want to kill everybody that's on the damn show so it will be over. Yeah. Everybody should take a note.
Is he talking about Walking Dead?
Yeah, Walking Dead is trash.
I watched the first season.
Same.
I just got tired of everybody whispering.
Yeah.
And sweating and looking like they stink and then yelling
yes.
and running and then whispering. It was the same episode over and over again.
Well, it's like, oh no, the zombies are going to kill us. Oh no, these other people are going to kill us. Oh no, we vanquished the other people. Oh no, it's the zombies again. Oh no, here comes some other people. And I imagine that was just the episodes I watched, and it's gone on for like 9 more seasons since then. I imagine not much has changed.
Yeah. And overall, I don't know what it is about me. Like, I have less of a tolerance for things that aren't real.
Oh, same. Yeah.
Like, same. I can put up with like tweaked reality, but really? Like fucking zombies, like,
no.
I don't know. It's just not for me. I don't give a fuck.
Not over like a long exposure.
Like, I could watch it and watch like a killer clown. But that's just like, you know, just sitting down for a movie and being scared and stuff. But like living with these characters in a reality that doesn't exist for a long time, like, meh.
Yeah, totally agree. Not 13 episodes. People really tried to get me into that show, The Leftovers. And I watched the first season.
Same. One season for me.
Nothing happened. Nothing fucking happened. No, and I think I started the second season. I got like 2 or 3 episodes in and I'm like, I'm not doing this again. I went through an entire season. Not a goddamn thing happened. And still here, nothing happened. But everything's a little weird. Some people disappeared. Everything's weird and people are weird. Okay. Like, do some shit. Make some shit happen.
Well, that's my issue after maybe I lasted 4 seasons, but that was Game of Thrones for me.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it was less dragon heavy in the beginning, and it just got more dragons and things that just didn't matter to me. So.
Well, now you'd really hate it now because now they've gotten to the point where they need to wrap it up real quick, and so shit is happening like every minute. You would go like early seasons, you'd go a few episodes without shit happening. Now there's every scene something's happening. Some
monumental.
Yes, a big character's dying, a fucking dragon's torching people, the fucking wall, like shit is happening left and right. And it's like a little too much. It's like, okay, calm down. You couldn't even, that's like a 6-day trek that you just did in 2 minutes. Like I'm not, you know, I was kind of annoyed by that. Okay, let's finish up with Wayne.
Too many episodes. Okay. Good writing, and ended at that.
Yeah.
Like I said, I paused it. I may call back and leave another voicemail, because every time I listen, I want to call or email, and then by the end, I have so much shit that I want to say. I'm just like, oh, fuck, this is going to take way too long. Anyway, later.
You're welcome anytime, Wayne L.
Yes, anytime, Wayne. Appreciate the call. Hardest listener, Wayne in Nashville. And I see the commercials for The Walking Dead. Just one more note. And the main guy, Rick, he looks exactly the same as he did on season 1. This guy they have not found any like creek or a reservoir, lake, anything that he could just wash his hair in, clean his body.
Can you imagine how bad they all smell?
Yeah, this the whole
world.
They're
in Atlanta in the summer, right?
Yeah, like he could come across a Target or Kmart or something, get some new clothes. Maybe even a Bass Pro Shops and get some like tactical
gear. in the movie Zombieland, which was a zombie thing I liked because it was just a quick movie.
And Bill Murray was in it.
Yeah, but another spoiler alert.
Oh,
sorry. Anyway,
I mean it's a 12-year-old movie.
But yeah, they like went into vacant supermarkets and Target type places, went shopping, went looking for things.
Fuck
like
yeah,
when that's all that's there. Nobody's in there.
Right. It's
go get it.
That one guy. The one guy's got a crossbow. I assume he's still got the crossbow, but he's got access to real weaponry. Like that, you got to reload that crossbow with a new arrow every time. How about you get some fucking semi-automatic handguns, right, guy? This might be a little bit better for you. I did read, though, that that guy, the actor Norman Reedus.
That's the, like, ratty-looking dude, right?
He, that son of a bitch. Well, first of all, he used to be married to, remember Helena Christiansen?
Yes, model? I do.
That's his ex-wife. And I just saw he's dating somebody super hot. Norman, I'm going to Google this because it's important. Norman Reedus, what do I say, girlfriend? Girlfriend. Now, oh, this is, people have been searching this. I just saw he's dating somebody. Oh, yeah, it's Diane Kruger. The
I like her.
The, yeah, German.
She was
American,
in Inglourious Basterds.
She was in Inglourious Basterds. She's super attractive. She was with Pacey from One Tree Hill for all those years. And now they're broken up. And she's dating Daryl from The Walking Dead. But that's not the most outrageous thing I heard. I heard this son of a bitch gets a quarter to half $1 million to show up at one of these Comic-Con events and sign 8x10 glossies for the weekend.
Wow. Wow.
That's some good money, Ed. That really is. That's some real money. And that's on top of his basic cable money that he's putting away. So good for him. But, like, get a better weapon. Like, it's just move things forward. Okay, what else? Hold on. I think we have an email, too.
Okay, what do you got?
Let's see what's going on here. Brian and Ed, two questions. Oh, Ed, this is from our very own. Writes a bill. We should honor him with some of his music.
Sure.
Hold on.
Davey's choice. It's a choice I made. Davey's choice. Watch me shiver while you shake.
Mr. Sass, he makes some good jingles. Brian and Ed, two questions. One, what's the longest time you ever took a nice continual piss? None of this stopping and starting bullshit, but a nice, healthy tributary. Once in my 20s, I was at the trough behind Larry Flint's bar on Bourbon Street, and it must have gone at least a minute and a quarter. That was a proud day that should be included in my LinkedIn profile. And B, how long before you think others in the men's room or everyone that can hear it in the house should stop what they're doing to cheer you on? I think if you can get past 30 seconds, it should be mandatory that everyone nearby should start a slow clap until you finish, until next
like
time.
Like the end of the movie Lucas?
Exactly.
Yeah. That's like, that'd be great.
That's from Rights of Bill. I feel like I do a pretty long stream every time. I know the woman I share my bedroom with, she remarks often like, dude, are you serious? Like, I've been waiting. I wanted to get in there, and you were just letting it fly. I feel like I would put the length of my regular stream up against pretty much anybody out there.
I feel like it's long, but it's never as long as you think. I mean, a minute and a half is a long fucking time.
That's pretty long. That's pretty long.
Like, I would guess, like, a long one could be, like, 45 seconds.
Yeah. Oh, that's super long.
Yeah, no. I mean, that's really long. So, yeah.
30 seconds is insanely long.
Speaking of New Orleans, I don't know about my record, but I do remember maybe 6-7 years ago, I was there with some buddies, and one of the bars there had some sort of like urinal game where you could get a score for the volume.
Balloon game. Oh, really? It, like, measured. There was like a graduated cylinder or something?
It was something, maybe the pressure. It was something like continuous pressure or something.
Why isn't there more of that?
I don't know. It was really cool, and I won it out of my buddies. But, like, it wasn't about time. I don't know what it was, but I won the contest.
Oh, good for you. Oh.
It was at that place that serves the hand grenades.
I've never been to New Orleans.
Oh, it's great.
Wow. Yeah. I do recall I was at a bar maybe like 5 years ago, and I was standing at the urinal, and I was looking at my phone pissing, and I had been pissing a while, and the guy behind me is like, come on, buddy. You know, he thought I was just looking at my phone because I've been standing there so long. And so I had to open up a bit you know, I had to kind of wide stance it and just so he could see over my shoulder that the stream was still pouring going, forth. Yeah, like, hey, buddy, I know the rules around here. I wouldn't just stand here holding my dick looking at my phone. I would get out of the way.
Right. But you're not an inconsiderate asshole. No. Like, you're just doing what you have to do.
Exactly. I'm just having a piss. Okay, thank you for that. Writes a bill.
Yeah, thanks, Bill.
It's a place in the world, does she know it? It's a place where that sports guy will throw it.
I haven't heard my.
Oh, you know what? We should see if he can add one for our big movie episode.
Oh yeah, well yeah.
Should we do the reveal?
Might be short notice. Well, I don't know because our guests have rescheduled a couple times on us already.
But eventually we'll do it.
Eventually we are going to do it, and it's probably going to be soon.
Karate Kid 2.
Yeah, Karate Kid Part 2. A lot of you have lobbied for us to review this movie, and I'll be honest, I'm going to come at it with fresh eyes because I've seen it, but only the first time it was out. I don't think I've ever revisited Karate Kid 2 in my life.
It had been a while for me. I revisited for the purpose of the podcast, so I already took my notes and all. It was impressive.
I recall they quickly dispatch with Allie, and Daniel-san, he goes to Okinawa and he gets himself an Okinawan girlfriend.
Yes.
So I'm interested to see how this goes. So yeah, probably next week with a couple of special guests, the Karate Kid, the Baller Lifestyle Podcast review of the Karate Kid Part 2. So look forward to that. Okay, Ed, what is going on in the world of sports and racism?
Well, this would be the people cheering. This would be the cheerleaders from Weber High School in Ogden, Utah. Now, they gained attention after the teenagers were exposed for chanting racial slurs. The Salt Lake Tribune reports the teens filmed themselves during a road trip last fall, and I watched the video.
Yeah.
They're screaming over and over again, "Sergeant Cuff! Sergeant Cuff," and they're laughing, and it was an Instagram post, and if you take that phrase in reverse, Sergeant Cuff becomes fuck niggers.
Oh no, are you serious?
Yeah.
And they're laughing.
They're just laughing, you know, like hee hee, like these dumb bimbos. And a school spokesperson had some sort of shit for brains response saying it was inappropriate, but they weren't on school property, and explained that. And after all, the racial slur was said in reverse. Like making excuses, like no suspensions, nothing. So, Brian, what's the more surprising aspect of the story? That cheerleaders posted something dumb and annoying on Facebook or on Instagram? Or that a school from the state whose only black residents have been Karl Malone and Ty Corbin would choose not to discipline the racist students?
That's a weird thing to make excuses for.
Yeah, that's where you're just like, oh, they're off the cheerleading squad, or they're suspended for 3 days. Like, I don't know about your kids' schools, but the first day of school, you sign like 20 different forms, and one of them is like, yeah, doesn't matter if it's out of school, like, you cannot, like, post shit about people on social media or, you know, cyberbully. Like, that's part of the deal. And cyberbullying, when you're screaming the worst word possible, probably, that's the worst English word, right?
Yes, it is, like...
Whether it's in reverse or not.
Like, so shocking.
Fuck off.
Yeah, like, who raised these people? I would be so embarrassed. But, you know, it seems like maybe this is kind of, like, normal.
It's weird.
Oh, they even spelled it out. Look, I got it here. They even spelled it out in reverse... In their Instagram caption. Yeah.
Here. Sergeant Cuff! Sergeant Cuff!
Oh my god. Oh my god. Oh, these chicks are so annoying.
Yeah, don't you want the car to crash? Like, you just want that thing to go off the road.
Yeah, and they look, there's, you know, the gene pool there is not very diverse.
Oh, like they're all descendants of Brigham Young?
Yeah, and it's like when you're from a small town, and it's really important that to your family that you marry like the same type of person as you, and the lineage doesn't really break apart too far because everybody kind of hangs out in the same place for many generations. People start to develop a certain look, and it's not good. It's not a good look.
No. Now, I know that places like this exist, but I'm always surprised, like, that people, like, think it's okay. I don't for a second, like, deny that racism is out there.
Sure.
But, like, for people to think, yeah, let me just post this shit online. Like, it's definitely not going to offend anyone, and, like, this is just going to be a big laugh.
Yeah.
Like, how, I don't know. I've never held myself back.
No.
Like, from saying shit like that. Like, right. I've never said, like, oh, if only these black people weren't around, then I could say this. But these people are the opposite of that. Not only are they not holding back, like, they are just all about it.
They're putting it on the internet.
Yeah,
like, they're putting it out there for the world. Like, it's so okay with them and their peer group that they can put it on the internet for everyone to see, and it's like no big deal. I do think about that, though, because I feel like this kind of stuff will, up until January 20th, up until November 9th, 2016, I thought that this kind of stuff was like not around anymore. And I've thought for sure the next generation. Like, I don't think my kids.
These are what, 16-year-olds? 17-year-olds?
Yeah, right. I don't think my kids have ever, like, been exposed to obvious racism. I don't know anyone in their life that they would hear anything or see anything like that from. It's just not around them where they are. I mean, I'm sure there are, you know, places that it happens. So I just assumed, oh man, we're just, you know, that's the thing of the past. Like, that's not something we're going to have to worry about anymore. But I guess it still is.
I took my kids to that Adam Yauch Park in Brooklyn one time.
Yeah.
And like a week later is when they had like swastikas painted all over it. Like, right. Yeah, it was on the news at like the pizza place I was taking them to. Yeah. Like, hey, that's the park. And I was like, let's look away, kids. Like, I don't want them to be exposed at that level.
Because Adam Yauch was Jewish, they spray painted his park, or just, they were just assholes that just wanted to put swastikas on things.
Well, it happened right after a certain election. So
oh,
no, there was a lot going right. on. There's a lot of
things.
Crowing about, hey, we won kind of shit.
There was a lot of things. Yeah, I get it. Okay, speaking of crowing, what's going on in Philadelphia?
Well, the other night, a taunting Sixers fan shouted down into the tunnel, "Kyrie, where's LeBron?" And without missing a beat, Kyrie shouted back, "Suck my dick." The video of the exchange went viral, and Kyrie was fined $25,000. Now, Brian, wow. Two things.
Yeah.
One, isn't suck my dick kind of a weird thing to say when you're angry with someone?
Yeah.
Like with another dude and you're angry.
Yeah.
It's a weird thing, right?
Yes. And it's so vulgar.
Yeah. And it's just, it's something you don't want. Like, go fuck yourself.
Yeah.
Makes sense. Like,
yeah, I don't
suck my dick. Like, I don't want you in my presence.
I don't
want
to be intimate with you. Like, I don't want you closer to me, and I don't want your mouth on me.
Right, like, that would Kyrie's be weird. Involved now.
Yeah.
He's got to get intimate with this
yeah,
guy.
Yeah, that's weird.
And I know I say it a lot, but why can't athletes be allowed to punch fans in the face?
I know, but I mean, people are such fucking assholes, but you figure you'd be used to it. I mean, that's not even that bad of a thing. Where's LeBron? Like, it's so unoriginal and uninteresting and unfunny and stupid. Like, he got traded. Like, it's a business. He went to a different team. Fucking cares. Like, you're not tied to the person you used to work with. Imagine if everywhere you went, people talked to you about Dave, that guy that you shared it, that was your cubicle mate in 1997. Right. Like, imagine that, like, that's everything about you is tied to that person. I think about that because I'm a divorced person. And I've been divorced now I'm married to somebody else. You know, I'm divorced. And yeah, I share kids with someone, but we're not together. And every time I see somebody that knows both me and my ex-wife, they'll always say something about she or about her to me. And I'm always like, that's such a weird thing, that to always have to be tied to someone else. When
you have a new identity.
Yeah, when you've separated and your lives have gone different directions and it's been a long time. But always, 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 you know, it doesn't go, I don't go a month without somebody going, hey, you know, so-and-so was doing this. And I'm like, okay, that's cool.
That's weird. I never thought about something like that.
Yeah, and but imagine it's somebody you worked with. Like, I could see why people do it to me or to people that used to be married. But, I mean, you just work together. Like, just because you get to watch my job on TV doesn't mean that it's not any more than just we work together and now we don't. You know, we made decisions for our career and now we don't. So weird. So it's a stupid taunt. But you figure you got to be above. You've been in the league a long time. People have said way worse shit to you than that. Like, that's such a weird one to react to.
I assume it was after a loss.
Would guess, yeah.
Yeah, like he was just annoyed. I mean, I do think that there's a lot of pressure on him, you know, because he wanted to be the man. It's like, all right, you got it. Celtics are yours, and Hayward's out, so.
Well, also, I think, yeah, he wanted to be the man, but he didn't want to be the guy holding the bag. And
when LeBron goes to the Lakers.
LeBron's going to go, he's leaving.
And he's stuck in Cleveland.
He's over it. And he's like, oh, wait, it's just me? You just left me here? And, you know, so he wanted to move first. And it's, hey, these guys got to make decisions for themselves. Like, that's.
Of course.
Everybody's got to do what they got to do. You know, there's a lot of money involved. And also, this Kyrie, this guy fucking sells shoes.
Yeah.
He needs to be in a place where he can keep selling those fucking shoes. Because I think he's got, like, the number one or two selling shoe. And basketball shoes don't sell like they used to. So it's basically, like, his game right now to keep selling shoes.
It's weird that he is. Is it just, like, the fatigue of LeBron? Because, like, he's an excellent player.
And he's really good,
Key shot to win the championship. Yep. But, like, he was LeBron's second fiddle, like a distant second fiddle. Like, yeah. LeBron is, you know, in the running for best player of all time. Like,
yeah,
there's a big difference between him and Kyrie.
It is kind of weird because you'd think, like, Russell Westbrook or James Harden. Although James Harden has an unpalatable visage, which I think makes it hard. He needs to get rid of that beard. Like, you can't – that's just not a Madison Avenue look. Like, you gotta look better if you want to advertise shit.
But Westbrook is, like, you know, a normal looking, stylish guy. Like, you would think he would be way more popular than Kyrie.
He's got, like, clothing line. Yeah, and that's so I think it also has a lot to do with the design of the shoe. Like, Kyrie
Irving. Oh yeah, Curry has shitty looking shoes, right?
Yeah, no, Kyrie Irving has really cool looking shoes. Right. Oh, Steph Curry.
But I'm saying, when you said that, I remember, like, they had the big launch, and everybody's like, that looks like, you know, like, a pair of old Spaldings.
Yeah, he's an Under Armour guy, and he's got, like, a dad shoe. So it's, like, you got to kind of catch, you got to be an exciting guy, but also you can't have an ugly-ass shoe. Okay, what else is going on? Speaking of ugly places, what's happening in Maine? We already talked about Delaware, made up.
Delaware, Utah, and Maine. We're really hitting all
Maine,
boring white states.
Like, Maine really exists. Come on.
According to a report from the Portland Press Herald. Oh, by the way, here's a little trivia for you. Portland, Oregon, when they got the Northwest Territory, the two guys who were settling it, one was from Portland, Maine, and the other was from Boston, Massachusetts, and they flipped a coin, and it would have been called Boston, Oregon, or Portland. That's where it came from. So that's a much better, because think about Boston pride.
If they had
a whole city named after them, they'd be so proud of themselves.
Well, but I see it the other way, as there we could be like, oh, you're not even the best Boston. Like, there's a Boston with way better food trucks, and it's on the West Coast. Like,
that's a good point.
You're not even the coolest Boston.
Right. Yeah, that's a good point.
That's an interesting fact, though, Ed. You always come up with those.
Yeah. Well, anyway, according to that paper, the football coach at Gray New Gloucester High School resigned after instructing his players to taunt a Yarmouth player with gay parents during the game last Friday, telling them to ask the player, "Who's your daddy?" every time he was tackled. When the Press Herald reached out for comment, Superintendent Craig King told them simply that Coach Dwayne Greeton was no longer worked for the school. Now, Brian, On a scale of 1 to 10, how surprised are you that the hateful asshole coach's name was Dwayne?
It just, nothing surprises me anymore. You know, like it just, people are saying the N-word in reverse on their Instagram.
Leader of young men. Let me set an example for my players. Yeah.
Who's your daddy? Like, it just, so, and it's like always so unclever.
Right. Fucking asshole.
You know, it's just like what, like it would be better if it was kind of funny. Like if you wanted to make fun of somebody and you could find like something kind of edgy to kind of zing them with. And it's like way more palatable and less upsetting, but it never is. It's always just kind of like really stupid.
I had some steakhead football coaches in my day, but like if they said something like that, you'd be like, no. Yeah. I'm not going to do that.
No, it's
sorry.
Like somebody might see me doing that and they might think I thought of that and I'm smarter than that. And I don't want people to think that I don't get humor because
one, I don't hate gay people, but I do hate bad humor.
Totally. So, much worse.
You can go fuck off with that.
Ed, I saw this on the local news last week because it happened here in Long Beach, California. But there's a restaurant. It's like a little like bistro that, you know, like one of these sort of like quasi fancy, like small plates, like artisan restaurants. And let me see if I can find what it's called. It's called Sweet Dixie Kitchen. Oh, and
I like that. Country.
Yeah, they do like southern sweet potato hash and biscuits and gravy. Yeah, salmon Benedict and like soul food.
Excellent.
Good shit. Frito pie. Like all this is the kind of shit that's really good when you're hungover. Like you go.
Oh, that's a great Sunday meal right there.
Yeah, little hair of the dog and just something hearty to comfort you. Well, this Sweet Dixie Chicken, Ed, they've been doing chicken and waffles, which, you know, fried chicken, fresh Belgian waffles with good maple syrup, like the whole deal, hot sauce, like just really do it up. Everything was going well. Like it was, everyone thought this is a really good item until a Yelp reviewer posted that he saw workers walking in to the restaurant with buckets of Popeye's chicken. Turns out that they were just repurposing Popeye's chicken as their own fried chicken and selling it in their chicken and waffles. And the woman owner like doubled down on it. And she's like, yeah, it's, you know, we buy ingredients from all different places and we buy Popeye's chicken and reserve it because, you know, we like it or whatever. But it is kind of weird that it's not like it's said on the menu, like, you know, chicken and waffles featuring Popeye's chicken or anything. Like they were obviously sort of trying to keep it a secret because it's a lot easier to buy cheap, shitty fried chicken than make your own delicious, tasty fried chicken.
But what are you calling shitty? Because Popeyes is not shitty.
Well, it's but I don't mean that it's shitty tasting.
Yeah, it's cheap. It's cheap. But
I mean that it's probably they don't probably use the a locally sourced, pasture raised, organic bird that lived a good life. They get one.
They get it on the cheap. But my God, there's really. There are a few things more delicious than Popeyes, like a nice Popeyes fried chicken. Yeah,
I don't think I've ever had. I don't think I've ever had Popeyes. We don't really have them around here.
It's too good. That's the problem.
Yeah,
like it's just too good. And I know, like the trend. Everybody loves the Korean fried chicken. Like that's like the, you know, the fancier fried chicken. And it's all right, but like it's half as good as Popeyes. Popeyes is like. Exactly what you would want from these, you know, southern soul food places. Popeye's chicken is amazing.
That's one of those things. It's got to be at the top of the list, fried chicken, I mean, of the last meal requests.
Of course. Because you don't have to care about the cholesterol at that point. No,
and it's just so fucking good. Like there's, it's all you.
Perfect.
It's all hot and crusty on the outside, and then you rip it open, and it's all juicy and delicious inside. Like there's really just nothing better than delicious fried chicken.
My issue with the Korean barbecue,
yeah,
is it's a lot of crunch and fried,
not much chicken,
but the chicken is lacking on the inside.
Yeah. That's why you need these antibiotic-raised birds that are caged and not allowed to move or anything. Because right. They get real fat and real big in a short time.
Yeah, you need the saddest life chickens.
Yeah, that's if you want to make the most delicious fried chicken. Yeah. I'm really conflicted. I don't know if I should be mad at this sweet Dixie.
I kind of like that she just said yes.
Yeah. Yeah, like, she's like, yeah, we use it. Yeah. I mean, I'm sure it's really good, and it's not
the
it's
markup not, she's making is great.
Totally, I mean, but
what does she charge? She's charging $20 for something that costs three for like eight pieces.
Yeah, and yeah, but it's like you don't know what the markup is on any. You know, they're buying wholesale anyway of everything, so it's the markup is probably more because she's buying Popeye's retail version right. of the chicken. You know, it's not like she's getting a wholesale price from Popeyes. So I don't know. I might have to go there and do my own investigation.
You ever work in a bar where you do yeah. like the liquor orders?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Oh my god. Oh my god. Markup. Like I remember working in a college bar, and they were paying at the time when they're charging, even when it's like cheap college prices, $2.75. They're paying like 46 cents a Bud Light.
Or oh yeah. Oh yeah.
There's a huge markup just from the middleman to the bar.
Oh, the margins at restaurants on food, very slim, minimal. The money is made on the drinks. It's the soda. It's the alcohol. Like that's how they're getting you. That's how they're getting their money at least. Okay, Ed. This I really want. And this is kind of visual, so we're gonna have to go through it. This I had never heard of before.
Neither had I.
But I don't know if you know this, but May 30th, 1990 is a seminal day in comic history.
Lore.
How deprived were we? That we, like the Sunday, we would look at the paper.
I remember genuinely having excitement in my heart for the Sunday comics.
I remember being annoyed that my parents didn't subscribe to the better paper so I could get a better comics on the weekend.
Same. And my parents on Sunday would get the Sunday Times. I was like, this isn't doing me any good. I want comics.
Is there no comics in the Sunday Times?
No, they don't play. You know what they have on Sundays? A really hard crossword.
Oh, yeah, I know about that. There's no Beetle Bailey. Here's the thing. Those fucking comics are all so terrible.
Andy Capp is just drunk and beating his wife.
Yes.
Then you had those weird ones like Mary Worth and
the old timey ones,
like the serious ones.
Yes, what it was like a serial. Like, oh my god, last Sunday Dick Tracy was getting into it with Two-Face. I've been waiting all week to read six more words of what happens.
But the worst of all is the family circus.
It's just
family
one circus? Cell, family circle, family circus.
Billy dipping into the sugar instead of eating and making the chocolate chip cookies. And you're like, well, what does that mean?
That one had a secret Jesus theme, right?
There was something going on because it was probably as funny as Davy and Goliath.
I didn't know until college. I didn't never had it really explained to me I never connected the fact that Peanuts, Charlie Brown, he's this like fucking super depressed, morose kid, and that Charles Schulz, that's him. He's drawing himself. That's how he saw himself. He was that guy.
And there, I saw. I think there was an obituary recently of the redheaded girl.
Oh, really, Peppermint Patty?
No. There was like the love interest that it wasn't in like every. He had like this affinity for the redheaded girl that you never met, And it was this woman, and she became, like, you know, a footnote, but, like, her obituary was, like, in, you know, the Times, the New York Times or something. Like, they were like, oh, the redheaded girl finally died, and she yeah. was his love interest, like, yeah. you know, 70 years ago.
Lucy, his tormentor,
cunt,
was his ex-wife. He based her on his ex-wife. And this mm-hmm. here's this, like, sad dude and this sad, unfunny fucking comic book or comic strip that we're just beaten over the head with our whole childhood and told that this is entertainment. And it's so unfunny and Snoopy. Like,
and what I don't understand, Snoopy, like, sometimes was flying the doghouse. Like, what?
That was like his fantasy.
What the fuck was going on?
Yeah.
Whose fantasy, though? Are we in Charlie Brown's head or
no.
Snoopy's?
No, it's Snoopy's off doing his own thing.
So we're reading a comic about a irrational thought of a dog? Like, that doesn't make sense either.
Right. Very confusing. And then there's Schroeder. He was the real poon slayer. Like, he played the piano. He had that tiny piano.
Yeah, yeah,
and
yeah.
He was really – but I feel like he was going to get into some heroin before long. Nice,
yeah. Mm-hmm. He had the nice blonde locks. And how about Pigpen? What kind of asshole?
He's homeless.
Yeah. His parents let him – oh, you yes. think he was just straight up homeless. But
hold
like,
on now. He's just dirty.
The home, like the Halloween special.
Yeah,
he's even like dirty in his ghost costume.
Yeah, he has like, a dirty ass ghost costume.
And like, why do they have to hang? And people are like, oh, Pigpen. And it's like, oh, get over it. It's like the guy's creating mud everywhere he goes. Like, fuck yeah. off. Yeah. Get him out of the house.
Totally agree. Linus, fucking security blanket. He sucked.
And the whole great pumpkin thing. And then the Christmas special. He's the one who brings everybody down. Everybody's like talking yeah. about, you know, presents and trees. And then he's like, yeah, let me tell you the story of fucking Mary and Joseph. And everybody gets all bummed out.
Oh, yeah. That's what got me going on this in the first place. It's another secretly Christian themed entertainment for children. Like, they're trying to sneak it on us.
Yeah. So between that, girl. Davy and Goliath, and the same guy who made Davy and Goliath made Gumby. So I assume Gumby was part of that whole cult.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. 100%. Well, that makes me
think. Art Clokey.
So this Garfield. So May 30th, 1990, there was a particularly interesting or memorable Garfield strip. And it's in color, so it must have been on the weekend. Because, you know, during the week, they just didn't print shit.
So those were the throwaway ones.
Yeah, black and white. They saved up all.
This is the good stuff.
They saved up all their real zingers for the weekend. Before we get into this, I just thought of something. Garfield is an orange-ass cat. But there was also Heathcliff, which is an orange-ass cat. But I feel like Heathcliff was around. Like, Garfield was more prominent. But I feel like we have a...
Heathcliff is older, right?
Yeah, I feel like we have a Hydrox Oreo situation here, where the actual thing is thought of as the copy of the thing, when really right. it's the original thing. This Heathcliff, he really got fucked over. And he had a lot more going on. Like, he had friends and shit. This Garfield...
Yeah, he had a whole gang.
Yeah, he had a whole gang of other cats, and they'd go out, they'd making go out things and do happen. Shit. Yeah, this Garfield just fucking laid around the house eating
loser.
Lasagna. Yeah, yeah. Fucking and with the dog.
Yeah, and why the fuck did he care that it was Monday? He's a goddamn cat.
Yeah, yeah. Every day is Sunday for a cat. They sleep 16 hours a day. And this John was feeding him lasagna. Well, this one, Ed, it's widely considered the John drinks dog semen strip. And I'll describe the strip. It's three cells. And the first cell, here's John. And he looks like he's on something with those big eyes. The big eyes are real wide open. And he's
just bugging out.
Yeah, he looks like he's on speed or something. Just Adderall. Like, he's really hyped up. And he's walking in, and Garfield appears to be being examined. There's a woman. She's kind of hot. She's got a nurse's uniform on. A lot of red lipstick. And Garfield, and there's a cup, there's a mug on the table. And this John walks in, and he says, have a cup of coffee, John? Why, thanks. Don't mind if I do. And he reaches for the mug, And then in the next cell, he whooshes. There's like movement of the mug, and he's got it to his lips, and he's just guzzling it. He's just, which is weird because if he thought it was coffee, coffee's hot as fuck.
You found the cold open, huh?
You never gulp coffee. You just
right. You sip.
Here, look. Here, listen. This is what it sounds like. This is what it sounds like right here. You don't go. So that right there, that's something telling right there, because he grabs it and he's just pouring it down. And the nurse who's still holding on, or the veterinary tech, I guess, she's holding Garfield, and Garfield's just like looking with those, like his eyes are like slits like they are, because he's probably high or he's had too much lasagna or whatever. And he's just kind of like looking at John like, fuck off. And the nurse says, while John is just gargling away, she says, "Congratulations, Mr. Arbuckle." And then we get to the ultimate
zinger.
To the resolution, the final scene. And it's John is like, he's freaked out. He's got his mouth is pursed and his cheeks are puffed out, and his eyes are bugged out, but there's like an extra like exclamatory look, and he's shaking. It shows that he's shaking. He's got his hands up, and the nurse says, "You are going to give birth to a fine, healthy litter of puppies." And Garfield, he was so chill the first two, he was like, couldn't be fucked. And now at the end, his fucking eyes are wide open.
He opens his eyelids.
Right. And he has a thought bubble, and he's looking, he's breaking the fourth wall. He's looking directly at the viewer, and it says, and he's got a thought bubble because he can't talk. It's his is just a thought. And he says, "I hate puppies."
Wow.
So the obvious inference there, Ed, is inference? The obvious inference there, Ed, is that this veterinary clinic had a coffee mug filled with dog jism, puppy cum.
And knows nothing about animal husbandry.
Right. And this, that's true. We didn't even get to the science of the whole situation yet. And this John Arbuckle swings in and just fucking helps himself. Like, what if that had been somebody's coffee? Imagine just walking up and somebody has a beverage there, and it's just a beverage. It's not dog cum. And you're just like, oh, this is pretty good. Like, who the fuck would do that in the first place?
A guy on meth, maybe.
Yes, you get what you deserve. But he's guzzled down. The inference is that he's guzzled down a full cup of dog cum. And it's I don't think how you could read anything else into that. What do you think, Ed?
I totally agree. And, you know, when you were talking about the lasagna, it made me think, have you ever made lasagna? It takes
so much work.
It takes like half a day. It's not spaghetti and meatballs.
No. You got to layer it.
And it takes some work.
You got to boil shit. Yeah.
So you've got a single man bending over backwards to make an intricate meal for his cat, lasagna.
Well, just
he definitely likes a mouthful of scenery.
That's true. I mean, just back it up. He's a single man that owns a cat.
Right.
I mean, that's as far as you need to go.
But, but for a dude to go through that much work to give his cat, like, cats will just eat shit out of a can.
Yeah, that's true.
And this guy is making a detailed dinner for his love. Like, he is guzzling anytime you leave a cup of semen out in front of that guy, he's guzzling it.
That's true. That's a really, really good point. Well, I see here that this strip has come to be so widely known that people actually order it. Like, they have it framed on their wall.
It's like a gay pride.
Yeah, the dog cum strip. There's like a picture of somebody's tweet here. The dog cum strip has arrived, and it's like a framed version of this. And so I guess BuzzFeed did an investigation of the thing, and they had to get this Jim Davis AK, another guy that was basically drawing himself, John Arbuckle. Not the fact, not mind you, that he stole this whole idea from Heathcliff. Like, I mean, an orange cat, like make the cat a different color. Right. Like you're going to do a cat also? Like, right. Just do it slightly different than Heathcliff. You're doing the exact same,
same
thing.
Same colors, the little black stripes on the orange.
And don't pull that shit that, oh, I never heard of Heathcliff when I started drawing Garfield. Like, I don't.
It's like I remember when the OC came out and the guy gets like, oh, I never saw 90210.
Yeah. Oh, so. How's that even possible? It's on the same network. Like, how is that?
Yeah. It was, like, and the show ended like 3 years before the OC. Like, yeah, you knew exactly
right. What it was. Also, this was also at a time where there was no internet, but we all knew that Rod Stewart had to get semen pumped out of his stomach.
That's right. Like, that's, you know, right. Gear had the gerbil.
Right. The gerbil sitch, Rod Stewart, all of the above. So he had to comment, this Jim Davis had to comment, and he said, and just give the guy the benefit of the doubt and just be like, okay, just let's hear it. It's obvious. It's obviously a confused situation. It was 1990. Like, no one was drawing cum strips back then. Just give us the explanation, Jim. This is what he said. On the farm, we used to give first calf heifers a high protein supplement, Ed, on the farm and at my high school. We used to give first calf heifers a high protein supplement to help them deliver healthier calves, he said in a statement. The supplement was provided by our vet. Since Liz is a vet, I assumed that there would be a similar supplement for dogs. So John is drinking a protein-enriched drink formulated for a pregnant dog.
You know that scene in Vacation where Clark comes up with the real intricate reason why he was swimming naked with Chrissy Brinkley, and at the end Rusty's like,
Yeah,
I get it. You think Mom will believe that? Like... Yes. That's the same type of deal. Like, after this, you're like, yeah, okay, but do you think everyone else will believe that story?
Yeah, he protesteth too much, obviously, because that's a dog drinking.
Denial is when you don't explain yourself. He's like, it's just, coffee and, something screwed up. Like, he had a very detailed, I worked here and this and that. Like, no, that's not how it goes, buddy.
I used to work with a guy that would just, he had a hard time showing up for work. And every time it would be just a more detailed lie about why he couldn't come in or he was going to be late. And it was a whole thing. And of course, everybody knows you're lying because you put too many fucking details in it.
Right.
That's the thing. A guy that's not lying.
If you feel like you don't need to lie.
Yeah.
You're just like, no. Yeah. Weird day. Weird day.
You don't tell a whole story. Ed, joining us now, the pop culture segment of the show, just in the building. It was touch and go there for a minute. Luckily, she was able to join us.
She was a game time decision.
Absolutely. It is Fancy Sauce here to educate us on what's going on in the real news. How you doing, Fancy?
Hello.
Hey, Kate.
Hello.
How's it going?
How is it going? Oh, that reminds me.
I'm gonna do an Australian accent for you.
Oh, people love that Australian accent. Okay, did you ever read the Declaration of Independence when in the course of human events?
I did not.
You
sorry,
didn't?
Oh, Toby, oh yeah, if you're I forgot still about listener.
That. Yeah.
I forgot.
He was going to give us five dimes for that.
I know, but here's the thing. You need to make it really easy for me. You need to email me what you need me to read.
Oh, you got to Google that?
Like... don't hit me up on Twitter. I said to email me. I think I gave you my email. Just make it as easy for me as possible if you want me to do something.
Well, the thing is, if you haven't read the Declaration of Independence, that only qualifies you to be President of the United States.
Right.
You know what's weird about the Australian accent is, like, it's not that hard to figure out. And I'm friendly with a mom of one of my son's friends is Australian. Huh?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And we were picking up our kids from soccer practice today, and another woman heard her talking to me, and she goes, oh, that's a lovely accent. Yeah. Are you Irish?
Yeah.
And I was like, what? Like, that's, Irish is nothing like an Australian accent.
Not even close. The Australian accent, very similar to the Kiwi accent.
Yeah, if you were Kiwi and you mistaken it for Australian, that's one thing. Yep. But Irish, yep. Irish is not like
even close. What? The Kiwi and Australian accent are very similar because it's basically the same country. Like, there's not really any difference between an Aussie and a Kiwi. It's basically exactly the same people. And similarly,
this woman's Tassie.
Oh, really? Oh, that's wild. Tasmania.
And her husband loves to make fun of her. I guess Tasmania is like the Alabama.
Oh, yeah. It's like the Bogan area.
Yeah. So he's from Sydney, like, so he loves taking shots at Tassies.
Because Sydney's like the New York, like that's the high class. It's the beach. It's like the.
It's more cosmopolitan.
Yeah, it's like the French Riviera. Like it's got like all that going on. It's beautiful.
Tassie, I guess.
Cato
down home.
Our very own Cato is from Perth, which is fucking way out on the side.
Is that considered, I know it is remote, but is it considered like...
What do you mean the side? I don't know.
Metropolitan area, or is it...
Yeah. It is.
Yeah.
Super remote.
Yeah, like, you can Google it.
It's the most...
I know exactly where the most
remote. It's the most remote city in the world.
Pictures of it. We have skyscrapers.
Yeah.
It is the most remote city in
the
world.
That's right. It's way out there in the corner. In the western bottom west.
Southwest
corner. Kind of like here.
That's it's the right. LA of
right.
Australia.
Exactly.
I believe that San Diego is our sister city.
Sister city, yeah. It's probably about the same size.
I don't know who decides on those sister city
things. You ever hear the sister city and it's like, oh, yeah. Toledo's the sister city of Milan. You're like, what? Who picked that one?
Is this like the mayoral bet? Is this how we get sister cities where they're like...
I think so.
Yeah.
But we are like San Diego in a lot of ways, so it doesn't make sense.
Yeah. Fantastic. Okay, quickly, before we get into the pop culture correspondent, we have an email. Amigos, let me start with apologies to my Miha Fancy for causing hashtag dong chat in her session last week. That being said, another oddity I encounter at the urinal is the dude that shakes his ween furiously when he's done. Is this too?
Somebody else would do shake his wing.
Is this too one intimidate others around him that his peen needs serious shaking?
No, he just doesn't like the drippage.
Hold on. B.
Wets his pants.
Gets him a little excited to give false sense of limp length, my personal favorite, in front of my wife. Or three, he is really angry at what he's working with. As always, thanks for your insight. You're Mexican, Cal State Fullerton, John and HB. Well, I have some thoughts. Ed, you want to go first here?
So was option three like, let me see if I can build this thing up a little bit?
No, that's B. B is he's B. getting a little blood in it. He's shaking it to get some blood so he can present. You need some blood in it if you're going to present.
I can respect that.
Of course.
I think there is something to some guys go a little too much. Like it seems, because you're not like really staring at them, but you're aware of what's going on. And there's a little bit too violent a shaking. Yeah. And you're like, what's going on there? Yeah. Like, you're just trying to get some drips out. Like, you're not masturbating. What are you doing there?
It's true. I got a buddy.
I feel like guys like... That's what they did when they were eight, and then they just keep doing it. It's fucking weird.
You might be right there.
Unfortunately, when you...
Most guys like, don't evolve past eight.
This is what I do after I pee.
When you hit a certain age, there's no amount of shaking that's going to get it all out. It's always going to...
Dribbles keep coming.
Yeah, there's always a little more dripping out of there. I have a buddy.
Just don't wear khakis.
His name is Spencer. And this guy, after he's done taking a piss, he doesn't shake. He gives that thing a stroke. He squeezes it.
Oh, like toothpaste. Like yes. He's trying to get it out of the tube.
And he's like moving up and down the shaft. And you're like, dude, what are you doing? Because it's got a sexual undertone to it, just by the way he's handling himself.
He's Billy Squiring it.
Yes, that's just his move where he feels like he can get it all out that way. This is actually sort of a topic on this week's Curb Your Enthusiasm ad, which you've unfortunately missed.
So, not missed, just haven't seen it yet.
Haven't seen yet. But thanks for that, John. I appreciate you reaching out. And I think it's...
Did John say what he is?
No, well, I mean, he does like to get a little excited, but I don't think that's after urination. I think everybody does that. If you're going to show it to somebody, you need to get a little blood in it. Get a little blood going. You don't want it full hard because that's embarrassing.
Like a well-timed slap.
Yeah.
Probably.
Yep.
Right?
Just a little squeeze. Little squeeze.
You're not angry with it. You're just trying to get it going.
No. Kate, I noticed you're looking at your phone there, not participating in the conversation.
You know what happened?
What's going on there?
Well, I don't know. What would you guys do after you piss?
You don't?
No.
No.
I only know what you do.
Do you have thoughts? What do I do?
Well, you drip a little.
I do? How dare you? What do you mean I drip a little? I dribble.
I've seen some drip.
Yeah. It's unfortunate. It's as and much I'm, as I shake it.
I've said, yeah, that, can you not drip?
Like you said, there's nothing you reach an age and you can't stop fully.
I need one of those... Like those finger cots, but like dick size.
Oh, we can. And just I can rig you just one of those. No problem.
Roll it up, roll it over the tip, and just catch those last few drips. Like
a little, that's what Stern like a builds little, a little
mini.
Oh, he does. He out of toilet.
He
paper.
Says he builds. A mini he builds a toilet paper turban.
Yeah.
Yeah, I could see that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Interesting.
They should make those.
They should. We shouldn't have to make our own. That's the matriarchy.
Depends for you. Just
that's the matriarchy. You guys have panty liners and tampons. You guys got everything you need, but that's because of the matriarchy. Us men, we're just, nobody thinks about our needs and our
maybe we should have
drips.
A baller lifestyle.
Yes, signature. Hat. Yes,
you started kick
signature
kick funder
dong urine collector.
Fun starter.
Okay, Kate. What is going on in the world of pop culture?
Well,
what is happening in fancy pop?
Good news.
Yes.
Good news for the Super Bowl halftime this year.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Next year.
Yeah.
February 3rd.
Yeah.
It's
season.
Super Bowl
next year.
53.
Yep. Of course it is.
I'm not sure where it's going down.
Ed would know this. It only goes to a few cities. Ed, where is the Super Bowl this year?
Atlanta?
No, but it used to be in like just great cities for Super Bowls.
Miami.
Now they put it in like rando
places.
If you
get a new stadium, you get to have a Super Bowl.
Yeah, like they had it in New Jersey.
They had
a couple
it in
years
Detroit.
Ago.
I do know that.
Yeah, it's,
I do
it's
know
no good.
That
yeah.
Super Bowl 54 will be going down at the Hard Rock Stadium in Miami, Florida.
Oh yeah, interesting.
I feel like, to do some I feel like they have a lot in Houston.
Today. Yeah.
Good news.
Yes.
Your favorite entertainer, because he really is an entertainer,
Stop
will be
it.
Performing during the halftime.
Stop it.
He has not performed since 2004 when he
Is his buddy
performed.
Jimmy Fallon going to be there to support?
I'm sure. He performed with Janet Jackson during the with the notorious nipple slip.
She had that
nip
barb slip. Through her nipple. Nipple jewelry.
None other than hammiest of all hams, Justin Timberlake.
Yeah.
Very fond of himself.
I fucking hate that guy.
He does. You know, he really does love himself.
If you want, you can Google a skit that he and Jimmy Fallon did about him performing at the halftime. I'm sure you can find
out. Oh, like recently? Like to announce it? Of course he did.
Yeah, like yesterday.
Here's what I hate about Justin Timberlake. He's so cheesy. What I hate about him is that there are guys, men, who I see on Twitter that are like, oh man, that guy's got life figured out. Like
what?
He just makes all the money and he plays golf and he's got talented. And I'm like, how can you not see how fucking cheesy and tired this guy's act is? Like, how is it that only I feel like it's They Live. Are you familiar with that John Carpenter movie? They Live.
Yeah. Yeah.
I know you are, Ed. I'm looking at Kate McManus here. Stars the wrestler Rowdy Roddy Piper, and
he's here to do two things.
Yeah, what is it? Kick ass,
chew bubblegum.
Bubblegum. Yeah, he wears certain glasses, and he can see who amongst us are aliens. I feel like I got the fucking glasses on, and I'm the only one. How can no one see how cheesy and how much this guy sucks?
Because people have bad types.
Everything he does with Jimmy Fallon sucks because
liking
Jimmy Fallon also sucks.
Liking the wrong people is also having bad taste. It's part of having bad taste.
You know what it is?
What?
It's basic.
Fucking basic.
You're basic as fuck. Okay, what else? Fuck Justin Timberlake.
DJ Khaled.
DJ Khaled.
Khaled.
Yeah, he had the banger of the summer.
Say it.
What's the banger of the summer? I'm the one, I'm the one, I'm the one. That one? That
but was he's him. Most famous for All I Do Is Win, right? That's
yeah.
the big
All I Do.
He's got a really cute baby son. He's a toddler now.
Got a thing that he does, and it's pretty good, where he's like, I'm going to do an album, and then nowhere is he actually performing on the album, where he just go or a song. He just goes, DJ Khaled! Productions.
Yeah. Right. Well, he has a lot of money.
And then it's like all the most famous people in the world are performing, but yeah, it's his song.
He has a great speed dial.
Yeah, he really does. It's great.
He has got a lot of money.
Yeah, he does. He does commercials.
His son, who's a famous, Insta-famous son, very cute, Assad, just celebrated his first birthday.
Wait, his son's famous? He just turned one?
Yeah. No, I think he's two.
Two.
Yeah, I think he just turned two.
Oh, well,
no,
that
he's,
makes perfect
he's
sense.
One. Oh, no, he's one. He's one. He's Insta-famous, Ed. Because DJ just Khaled has like
birthday, 78. So he's 1 year old.
He has like 78 million Instagram
things
followers.
Things are going well here.
Oh, yeah. God.
Anyway, for his birthday, DJ Khaled and mom Nicole commissioned Haute Living, which also threw the birthday bash, to make a nice watch for Assad. The piece is laced with more than 600 diamonds and weighs 11.65 carats. All for just over $100K.
Yeah.
First birthday gift.
He bought his one-year-old son. Can he tell? Like, my 10-year-old daughter can barely tell time. So I'm not thinking that his one-year-old son can really.
Well, his one-year-old son now owns a Frank Muller model in rose gold with his name and birth date engraved on the back. So it's fun. Also adult size.
So sick. So it won't even fit him.
He can't even move his arm.
I don't even understand.
Well, maybe he's going to do. Maybe,
what is this story?
Maybe he's going to do like a
What's wrong with this place? This country.
Maybe he's going to do like a Flavor Flav thing where he puts it on a chain.
I would deal. By the time he's ready to wear it, won't be the cool thing anymore.
What time is it, boy? Well,
of
that's pretty sick.
All the fucked up things in the world, like the thing that I keep coming back to that doesn't make sense to me is that Mel Gibson is just universally loved.
Oh, he has a movie.
That's the thing. That Trump makes more sense than fucking Mel Gibson.
Mel Gibson's back. I mean, Ed.
Like, my kids are like, hey, I want to see that Daddy's Home too. And I had to explain to them. I said, I'll never support that guy again. And they're like, why not? And I was like, well, you two are technically Jewish because your mom's Jewish.
Right.
So let me tell you, he hates you.
He hates you. He really does.
They're like, well, I still kind of want to see it. I was like,
but
no.
Still, no, isn't John Lithgow in that movie? And he's much more terrifying than Mel Gibson.
That season of Dexter with Lithgow, I had trouble sleeping.
He's scary and everything. Harry and the Hendersons.
Even Footloose.
Okay, Kate, what else is going on? What else is happening?
Most scary in Footloose, I agree.
Yeah.
Smashing
couldn't dance in that town.
Front man.
Yes.
William Patrick Corgan.
Oh, Billy Corgan.
He was on Stern, and he told Howard that he once saw a person transform into something else. He said, let's just say I was with somebody once, and I saw a transformation that I can't explain.
Oh, no.
The person transformed into something other than human.
Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah. Corgan, who lives in Highland Park and runs a tea shop there, said he was sober at the time. He runs a tea shop
Highland
in Highland Park.
Park, California?
Yes.
Isn't that where Mark Maron lives?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where is that? That's like a LA suburb?
East LA, yeah. Northeast LA.
The tea is a vampire, right? Like he can do like all sort of menu items.
I doubt he actually runs it. I bet if you go to that tea shop, first of all, who's ever been to a tea shop? Secondly, is anybody ever, I bet if you went there every day for 9 months, you wouldn't see William Patrick Corrigan there. And it's weird.
He goes, imagine you're doing something and suddenly you turn around and there's somebody else standing there. A different human, Stern asked, sort of. It's hard to explain without going into detail, Corgan said. But did you just say to the person, what did you just do here? That's not you, Stern said.
Yeah.
Yes, and they acknowledged it. They wouldn't explain it.
Oh, like how?
He added, it's up there with one of the most intense things I've ever been through. If there's something more intense he's been through than seeing a person morph into something that's not human.
That he can't describe.
I'd just like to know what that
refuses to describe. Billy Corgan's one of these guys that really the best thing for him would have been to die like 9 months after Siamese Dream came out.
My God, I was obsessed with that album.
It's so fucking good.
I listened to it.
The next one was good too. The double album.
It was good too, but it was like he got more pop and a little more mainstream. You know, it was like if he had just died after the thing that really broke and was really like his pinnacle achievement, like he would be more revered now because he's. Sure. I mean, he's definitely very. He did other good stuff, but
yeah. I mean,
I don't need to hear
you. From
him
you
anymore.
Think about that with. Artists that last that die before their time, and you think, oh, if they were only around, like, you know, think about like how sad Jim Morrison would have been.
Oh yeah, he was already like, sad. Aging. Yeah,
or Biggie, like he would have been on like American Idol and shit. Like,
yeah, he was hanging out with Puffy. Like it was before we knew how lame Puffy was.
Yeah, it was about to get super lame.
Yes,
but yeah,
I feel like Jim Morrison would still be touring.
Oh yeah, he'd be so fat.
He would have like a residency at the Sands.
He loved the attention.
Yeah, totally. I feel like. He was tortured. He used to perform with his back to the crowd because he was so shy. That's why he drank so much. Mm. I had a Doors phase. Read a few books on it.
Yeah,
it's not.
We all did.
Not my proudest moment.
No, we did not all. I've never had a Doors phase. This next story reminds me of something that happened to me just as I was.
You saw a shapeshifter?
Oh God. You shapeshifted?
And it just reminded me. It was very scary. Yes. Dr. Phil apparently crashed into a skateboarder with his car on Friday.
This is an interesting story.
I guess the incident occurred when he was exiting a parking lot near Universal Studios. He reportedly tried to pass a van and then in doing so, crashed into a skateboarder on a crosswalk. He got out of his car to check on the man, who's in his early 20s, and he drove away after the man said he was fine. But when police officers showed up, they called an ambulance. The skater refused to take it and said he would go on his own.
Yeah.
But it doesn't look good for Dr. Phil's, which is what the story says. I'm not sure why it doesn't look good for him.
Well, here's the thing. Yeah. He diagnosed and decided the guy was fine.
You're fine.
You're fine. Except I'm not a real doctor.
You are not injured. It's because you need to take control of your life and get off this skateboard.
Gave him a Dr. Phil mug and sent him on his way. So I was just driving home from
work. Stop trying to do ollies.
Listen to my friend Oprah.
It's dark outside.
Yeah.
And I pulled up to our street here.
Uh-oh.
And I stopped at the red light. Yeah. And I was making a right turn. I had my turn signal on. And I looked to my left to see if there was anyone coming. And I pulled. And as I was pulling, there was someone right in my window who I had almost hit and didn't see.
People don't look pedestrians.
And she was kinda like, what are you doing? And
cyclists. I was like, yeah, it's dark.
I was like,
it's dark, bitch.
And I thought for a second, holy shit, I could have killed you. That, didn't even see you.
That's why people who follow my Instagram stories know that when I go out for my fitness walks in the evening, a lot of times it's dusk or getting dark, I wear my orange camo hunting cap.
Oh, is that why you wear that?
Yeah. So I have a high-vis cap so people can see me at night. Because people are hard to see.
A lot of words just now that
what do you mean?
Could be dissected.
What do you mean? What? Yeah.
Are you my father-in-law? You go for evening walks?
With his weighted vest.
On the days I don't lift weights, Ed, I'll go for a walk. I have this 40-pound weight vest that I'll throw on, and it's like a good...
So you're working out. I thought you were just doing like the old people leisurely walks.
Yeah, I mean, I go for like a three-mile walk or so.
Do you poop on anybody's doorstep like that woman in Colorado?
No. She's still at large, by the way. Which is weird because they have a good shot of her.
What?
Right.
Yeah. You don't listen to the show. There's no true.
There's so many podcasts.
There's no true crime on the show. Okay, let's wrap this up. We got games to watch.
This is my last story. Okay. This is a crazy story.
Let's hear it.
Last January, 6 months after Fox News ousted its chairman amid a sexual harassment scandal,
the network's top-rated host
at the time, Bill O'Reilly, struck a $32 million agreement with a longtime network analyst.
Six zeros preceded by the number 32.
according to two people briefed on the matter, which is an extraordinarily large amount for such cases like this. Although the deal had not been previously made public, the network's parent company, which is 21st Century Fox, acknowledges that it was aware of the woman's complaints about O'Reilly, which included allegations of repeated harassment, a non-consensual sexual relationship.
Yeah.
So take that in.
Yes.
And the sending of gay pornography and other sexually explicit material to her, according to those that were briefed on the matter. It was at least the sixth agreement and by far the largest made by either O'Reilly or the company to settle sexual harassment allegations against him. Despite that record, 21st Century Fox began contract negotiations with O'Reilly and in February granted him a four-year extension.
He got ratings.
That paid $25 million a year.
Yeah, or not enough, or two-thirds of what he paid that woman.
I mean, I just, the culture that we are living in at the moment, I think we all know, is fucked.
Yes.
And I think that this latest wave of accusations in Hollywood is helping.
He was still only paying six figures.
Yeah. I mean,
I think this, you know, it hashtags and stuff don't really, you know, they obviously can't do everything, but I think there has been a real shift like in the last month of,
I mean, today,
you know, everybody, the Me Too thing, like,
totally.
Even I knew some of Michelle's situations, but like she still had like three more than I knew about.
Yeah,
like it's just the way it goes.
It's crazy.
You'd be hard pressed to find a woman that doesn't have a Me Too.
Well, I just think back to like working at restaurants growing up, and like how the chicks I worked with would get sexually harassed, and it was like not funny, but it was just sort of, oh, that's part of the deal, you know? Like, it didn't seem that bad to me at the time. And now looking back, I'm like, that probably had to be so intensely terrifying for that person to have to come to work knowing that the fucking bartender was going to be hitting her up all the time, or the busboy was going to try to grab her ass, or like, I didn't, you know, it just never occurred to me that how awful that would be to have that be a regular thing in your life when you're just trying to exist.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's fucked.
But think of what you would have to do to merit awarding somebody $32 million of your own dollars so that they won't tell people what you did.
Yeah.
Right, to put in perspective, this past weekend, all the living presidents got together to raise money for, what, Puerto Rico or whatever it was.
Right.
They raised 31.
Right.
They raised, and Patton Oswalt's brother, Matt Oswalt, tweeted, "Congratulations, you almost raised enough for a Bill O'Reilly sex scandal."
Yeah. A few weeks ago, Adam Carolla had Bill O'Reilly on, and this is before this part of the news broke, but it was, you know, they're buddies or whatever, and I don't think Adam Carolla is really too informed on issues like this.
No,
because this Bill O'Reilly's like, oh, we got proof. We got proof that this is all bullshit. It's going to come out. It's going
to It's going to come out. That's what he keeps saying. No, it's going to come out.
If you had it, it would be out. It would be out in lieu of the 32 followed by six zeros you gave a woman that you tormented. Like, if you had proof, you wouldn't give the $32 million.
Exactly.
Fuck him. He's a fucking guy.
And you wouldn't allow these negative stories to continue to come out.
No.
You would, like, it's going to come out. Like, no, you would want to cut it off now.
Of course.
Like, if you could cut it off, you would.
With your proof.
And today in the news, Hollywood screenwriter James Toback is in the news with multiple allegations.
He looks creepy. All I need to see is a picture of this guy, and I could have told you this. So, same with Weinstein.
Look, if you work in Hollywood
and
you've sexually harassed someone, you better be fucking worried.
It's coming out.
Because this is a wave that is only just, like, building.
Yep. 100%. Okay. Is that it, Kate?
Yep.
Okay.
Me.
Ed, go watch. Do you want to know what the score is in the Redskins?
No, please don't.
Oh, I don't know. I don't know anyway. Okay. Thank you for that, everyone. For Kay McManus, for Ed Daly, my name is Brian Beckner. Thank you for joining us. Episode 192 of the Baller Lifestyle Podcast, Karate Kid 2. We will see you next week.
Goodbye.
Bye, everyone.